In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I actually begin the sermon, I want to acknowledge my gratitude to God Almighty and to this church, and especially to the children of this church, for allowing me to be a storyteller in godly play. Godly play is a wonderful, wonderful foundational course for our children. But I think it would probably be a good one for adults as well. These past 2 weeks, I have done godly play. It has been about building the temple. The building of the temple in this particular godly play story is complicated. Sometimes I have a memory loss. I'm as afraid I might forget something important, because as I'm telling the story, I am building the temple and putting in it all the things that need to be there. And at the end of the story, the children have a choice. They can draw a picture of what they heard, or they can write about it. But the story is always put up in a box at the end, and if they want to take it out and tell the story themselves, they can. They didn't give it a second thought. They wanted to build the temple. I believe our children who were in godly play know more about that temple than 98% of the people present, and out there in virtual land as well. I say this because this sermon underlying it has something to do with this temple. As the gospel lesson begins, Jesus steps outside the temple. He's been in there with some of his disciples. And one of them looks up at this huge edifice and he says, "Look at this huge building. Look at these huge rocks." He's like a newcomer to Manhattan, looking up at all the skyscrapers in New York. He is awed by the impressive majesty of the temple. And Jesus seems totally unimpressed. He's been inside, and he didn't like what he saw. Just like the prophets before him, and Jesus is really the culmination of the Old Testament prophets, he was critical of what was going on. And if the words of the prophet Amos could be accurate, I think this is what Jesus would have said too. This is from Amos. And he said, regarding the worship that was going on, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your hearts. But, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This was not happening in the temple. Jesus says to the disciples, "The day is coming when this entire structure, stone by stone, is going to be leveled to the ground." And that became the case. If you go to Jerusalem today, you'll see what's called the Wailing Wall, which they believe is part of the foundation of that huge temple complex that King Herod built to placate the Jews, who caused so much trouble in his province. it all was torn down. Jesus goes on to say, more bad stuff is going to happen, like major wars, earthquakes, and famines. And of course, this gets the disciples' curiosity up. They want to know, when is this going to happen? But Jesus warns them not to get sucked in to predictions by people who don't know what they're talking about or who pretend that they know it all. Don't let yourself get off course because of them. And then our lesson ends with this. Jesus saying, this is the beginning of the birth pangs. The birth pangs. I've never physically experienced birth pangs. But I'll bet the women here who have given birth may know something about it and could tell us a lot about it. But think about it. Birth pangs produce new life. New life emerges from birth pangs. Now think about that, new life. Think about it in terms of our situation today. For the past 18 months, we have experienced a lethal pandemic, and it has gone around the world like magic. Millions have died, and many of these deaths have been very painful. COVID patients have been treated by people who are in protective gear, and they're so geared up that they look like they might be an alien. For everyone's protection, patients have been isolated from family and friends. Burial services have been conducted from automobiles. Many of us have been confined in our homes. I know we have. Offices and other businesses have had either to shut down or, if they were able, to continue working electronically. If a family is working electronically, parents, children, just think about that. Keeping the children focused on their lessons and you focused on your work and keeping the household running. Nothing is like it was before. And because of this, there's been a lot of frustration, there's a lot of attention, and a lot of anger. I'm not a Facebook person, okay? So if you try to reach me that way and you don't get an answer, it's because I don't go on it, okay? But people who do tell me about families who are arguing with one another over Facebook angrily about politics and face masks and all kinds of things, stuff that is put out there for the whole world to see and that will last forever. This is the extent of the turmoil that we have been going through. When will it end? Kind of like, sounds like the apostles' question, doesn't it? When will it end? We don't know. It seems even still to be flaring up in various places. Bad stuff like this has gone on before. There have been wars, there have been famines, there's been a lot of conflict. And from situations like that, Jesus says, this is the beginning of the birth pangs. Where is the birth and the new life emerging from that? I'm going to tell you three little stories, and I've picked three of them specifically because they're either Anglican are Episcopalians. So we're not talking about some other people. These are people who are members of the church called the Episcopal Church or the Anglican Church over in England. And the first person I'm going to talk about is English. His name is Thomas Cranmer. Thomas Cranmer is the person behind the production of the very first Book of Common Prayer. He didn't do it all by himself. He had other experts helping him, but he was the major one in the construction and the production of the first Book of Common Prayer. That was in 1549. He revised it somewhat, and a 1552 edition came out. And from that are our roots and our prayer book today. It's been revised in various times, but is essentially the prayers that have been prayed over the centuries. Thomas Cranmer has made that possible for all of us. He was in a time of political turmoil and situations changed, and he was burned at the stake for heresy. The second person I want to talk about is a woman named Constance. She and about 9 other women, Episcopal nuns, taught at a school that adjoined the cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral in Memphis. They were there at the time when yellow fever broke out, and it was especially virulent at the seaports like Memphis, but all along the Mississippi River. It actually extended from St. Louis to New Orleans. But it was particularly rough in Memphis. The thing is, no one knew what caused it. But it made a lot of people sick, and a lot of them died. A lot of people fled to Memphis, went inland, hoping that that would make an escape for them. But Constance and her friends stayed to attend to the sick and hold the hands of the dying. The death rate in Memphis was so high that bodies were stacked up in the streets and in homes. Constance was the first of the nuns to get the yellow fever and die. But so did several of the other nuns at some point, died as they ministered to the sick and the needy. Today, the high altar at St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Memphis is a memorial to these women who faced a deadly disease to assist others, and in so doing, died themselves. The last person I want to mention, Episcopalian, at some point, Dr. Martin Luther King called for volunteers to come to a march in Alabama. And this 26-year-old student at Episcopal Theological Seminary in Cambridge, Massachusetts, decided to go do it, and he asked a couple of friends to go with him. They were just going to go for a long weekend. At some point along this march, they were in a little town, and the authorities were appalled at the size of this crowd and what they were afraid they might do, although Dr. Martin Luther King said these will always be peaceful marches, witnesses for justice. But nonetheless, they arrested a number of them, put them in these crowded jail cells, and it included Jonathan Daniels. After 5 days, they were released. But here they were in this small town with no way to get out. They were there by themselves. They decided to go over to a general store to get something to drink and maybe something to eat. And as they started over there, one of the deputies pulled his rifle out because he saw a black teenager going with them. And he aimed that weapon at that teenager. Jonathan saw what was going on and ran in front of the girl and took the shot and died on the spot. The girl was so traumatized by what happened there that she could not speak a word for 7 months. But later, she enrolled in Jonathan Daniels Seminary and got the degree he was not able to get. And her degree was related to the justice demanded by God. Terrible things will happen, and they will produce birth pangs, new life. Jesus is talking about this because he knows what's ready to happen. This will be a big birth pang because he will be arrested. He will be whipped, cursed, spit upon. He will be crucified, and he will die. But the birth pangs will produce new life. Jesus raised from the dead. What is the basis of all of this? New birth? Jesus, while he was in the temple, right before this lesson, while he was in the temple, he said to the temple authorities, the very thing that the temple stands for, and the children in God they play know what the temple stands for. It's this. The first commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. All of it. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. These had been violated in the temple. At the culmination of our service today, you and I will be nourished by the very life of Jesus Christ our Lord. We will be nourished. We will be fed, all of us, so that as we go from this place, we can be emissaries sent out by Jesus Christ to claim new life through his gracious love and care. The Christ life should permeate every moment of our lives. And if you look through that prayer book that Thomas Cranmer gave birth to, you will find prayers all through the day, if you use them, that constantly remind you that you belong to God. And God is calling you to represent God to others. St. Paul put it this way when he passionately wrote to the Christians in Corinth. You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and God himself is present in you. You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and God himself is present in you. Amen.